Hare Krishna. So welcome to this special Sankirtan class. I can see the room is effulgent with so many devotees from the Welsh Yatra, is it? Haribo! Okay, so we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto. Chapter 1. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. Any literature or narration in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Uttama Shloka, is described and glorified is certainly great, pure, glorious, auspicious, and all good. Purport. The Krishna consciousness movement is spreading all over the world simply by describing Krishna. The Krishna consciousness movement is spreading all over the world simply by describing Krishna. We have published many books, including Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in 17 volumes, 400 pages each, as well as the Bhagavad Gita and the Nectar of Devotion. We are also publishing Srimad Bhagavatam in 60 volumes. Wherever a speaker holds discourses from these books and an audience hears him, this will create a good and auspicious situation. Therefore, the preaching of Krishna consciousness must be done very carefully by the members of the Krishna consciousness movement, especially the sannyasis. This will create an auspicious environment, an auspicious atmosphere. Om Adnyanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I received a call recently asking me to give the class. It's like many moons asking a very dull black hole to speak. So in front of all of you, effulgent personalities, men and ladies, it's difficult to present anything of value, but I'll make an attempt. Recently I've been meditating on the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam is extremely sweet, but also very, very dense, difficult to penetrate through if you're not in love with Bhagavatam. So I'm certainly not in love with Bhagavatam, but I make a show of having some affection. And there is this one verse, which is like one of the hidden gems for the book distributors. It summarizes two things. Number one, the stages that a person goes through when he or she receives a book on Sankirtan. And number two, it also identifies that four types of people that you generally encounter while distributing books. So I thought I will speak on this verse. If you look up and down Srimad Bhagavatam, maybe read it 50 times, try to figure out if there's a more relevant and direct verse in Bhagavatam that appeals to the Sankirtan movement. Of course, There are many glorifying Sankirtan and Yajna, but specific books, this is the one that appeals the most. So, as I said, the placement of this verse is also very unique. Srimad Bhagavatam gently leads you, raises your consciousness from the first canto up to the ninth, and then gives you entrance into the tenth. Bhagavatam itself says, Dasamasya Vishuddhyartham. Why are the nine cantos described? So that Vishuddhyartham, so that your consciousness is purified and you enter the tenth. And this verse appears in the eighth canto of Bhagavatam. From the ninth canto onward, Shukadeva Goswami starts describing the actual katha, direct katha of the Lord, which is Lord Ramachandra, and then tenth canto is Lord Krishna. So this is just at the cusp, the entry. Now, since it's a shorter class than usual, the verse, trying to unpack the verse and the words, I'll also try and speak some stories that I have experienced. I was speaking to my daughter last night and she said, just make it simple. Just speak some stories about your experiences. So, the verse says, Tat kathasu mahat punyam. Now remember this. Tat kathasu. Through his katha, what are the books? Books are essentially in every word. Srila Prabhupada would say, in every word, there is Krishna. In my books, in every word, there is Krishna. So it is katha, nothing but Krishna, Krishna katha. So tat kathasu, number one, mahat punyam. The first thing that happens when a person comes across the book, not necessarily even takes the book, is mahat punyam. And we will unpack that word. Second thing, danyam. Third, swasti ayanam. And fourth, shubham. These are the four things. So let's try and unpack these one at a time. The first, when someone is on the street or you're going door to door distributing books, you may or may not receive a good welcome. We all know that. The likelihood is that you will not receive a welcome. And we shouldn't be surprised, because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschit yatati siddhaye. So, amongst millions of people, somebody might be interested. Krishna has already said in the Bhagavad Gita, amongst millions, only someone will be interested. So we shouldn't be surprised. However, Srila Prabhupada received this order of printing books and distributing books in 33, but where? At Radhakund. When he met Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur personally, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was meditating on how Srimati Radharani's mercy can be distributed. And he told Prabhupada that, you know, there is so much issues with the Gaudiya Math. We have this new temple at Bagh Bazar and devotees are fighting on which room they should sleep in. It's a big marble temple. I desire to sell the temple, get some money and print books. And then he said something really, really important that penetrated Srila Prabhupada's heart. He said, if you ever get money, print books. And Srila Prabhupada says in one of the classes he gave in Los Angeles, that was the point when he realized how much my Guru Maharaj loves books. So this is going on in the parampara. Actually the gopis started it, right? The gopis in Vrindavan, they started 10th canto, they say, Tava katha amritam tapta jivanam. Kavibhir iditam. Iditam means they are distributing. The great souls, the kavis, iditam, they are distributing these, what? The katha of the Lord, the books. So it started from the gopis, came down all the way, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, and down to us. So it's truly, as Vaisheshika Prabhu says, it's truly a family business. So the first thing that happens is Mahat Punyam. Mahat means what? Great. Punyam means piety. Punyam here also refers to Sukriti. You see, when Jiva Goswami describes in the Sandarbhas that one becomes a devotee by somehow or the other coming in contact with another devotee. Somehow or the other. So Sukriti is the first step to making progress into devotional service. And how does one get Sukriti? It is causeless. So Srila Prabhupada, when he was in Australia, he said to all the book distributors, they were not very happy because they didn't manage to distribute as many books. So they went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, it's really difficult. So Srila Prabhupada said, these books have the power that will amaze you. And then he said, he went on to say, that even if someone simply looks at the book, flips the pages and says, oh, this is very nice, but thank you, I don't want it. That person will be guaranteed a human form of life. So somebody like me tries to think, what does it mean deeply that he'll get a human form of life? How many of you accept that statement of Prabhupada? Oh, we all Prabhupada anugas, that's nice. But if you think deeper, you see, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in 6th chapter, verse number 43, he says, Tatratam buddhi samyogam labhate paurva dehikam. Buddhi samyogam paurva dehikam. He's declaring in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that whatever a person does from a devotional service aspect, whatever a person does in this life, in next life, he will continue from there. He will remember his Porva Dehikam. Porva Deha means his previous life, and he'll continue from there. So imagine this life, you are out on books, and somebody has just looked at the book, looked at you, distributing the book. If that person has to continue from there in his next life, and pick the book, and read it, what form does he need to be in? What species does he need to be in? You think a dog will flip the pages and read? No. So it makes sense what Prabhupada said. Because if anyone continues from where they leave, then the only natural conclusion is they have to appear, reappear as a human being. That's the very least. How powerful is that? These books, in this life, if you went to a door and they didn't open the door, but they heard the doorbell. So what happens in the next life? They'll actually open the door. And they'll slam it on your face. Maybe. Or maybe they'll take the book. Even if they slam on the face, then in their next life, they'd open the door and accept the book. So the only way ahead is one step forward. So it's very powerful. In fact, you know, these books are special. Not everyone takes them. Srila Prabhupada sent some devotees to the king of Indore. The king of Indore. And with a whole set of books. All his books. And he was very hopeful that the king of Indore, if he accepts the books, then he can put it in various libraries. But the devotees came back with a very unhappy mood and said, look, Prabhupada, we tried our best, but The king of Indore is not interested. We are really feeling dejected. Srila Prabhupada said, that's all right. My books are like gold. One must understand their value to possess them. So, he was saying it's all right. So you see, it's very important that even if you just knock at the door with the books have reached their door. If not in this life, then in next life, it will reach inside their home. That is the power of these books. Because Krishna's guarantee is, you only make progress one step ahead at a time. So this is the first thing that it says. Mahat Punyam. It starts the person's Sukriti. This is applicable for those who are the first category. What is the first category of people we meet? They are, in simple words, they don't accept the book and they are not interested. But we happen to pass by, they just pass by. They look at us with a funny face and walk past. Just the fact they looked, they heard you. Hello, would you like a book or whatever, however you start, you know, everyone has their own technique. Yeah. Vaisheshika Prabhu says it's a good thing to start with a question. Always ask a question. Or another thing that I heard from him is, you look very spiritual, he starts. That kind of, you know, breaks the ice. So however you start, the fact they heard you, they made progress. Mahat Punyam. This is powerful. If the person accepts the book, but he's not really interested, but he's just being good to you. Sometimes you have such people, right? They take something, they're never going to read it. They know they won't read it. But they'll accept it out of courtesy or kindness. So they take the book, they take it home and put it on the shelf. This is the second word there, danyam. What is danya? What does danya mean? Anyone knows? Fortune? Oh, somebody said... No. I heard somebody said wealth. Yeah. Dhana means... Danya word comes from dhana. Dhana means wealth. And it also refers to humility because... You know, when you say thank you in Sanskrit, you say dhanyavad. Yeah. I have received so much wealth from you. Thank you. Like that. Dhanyavad. So dhanya means literally they become wealthy. Now tell me, your wealth is not constantly being used. It's with you. You use it when you need it, right? Like people are not constantly spending money. Yeah. It's not unless they have a hole in the pocket. Money is not going out. So, wealth is something that you possess, which you make good use of when you need it. Similarly, these books may stay on the shelf, but at some point they would make good use of it. I was once in 1997, it's many years now, I was with one devotee from New Vrindavan. His name is Nityodita Prabhu. He told me that one of his friends once, he was into UFOs. So one of his friends once, he became a devotee and he gave him a book. And the book, he was not interested in spirituality and all he could think of, well, the way he was describing, he said, all I could think of while eating, sleeping, even in my dreams is UFO. I wanted to meet a real UFO. You know, see a UFO and meet the aliens. So, one devotee gave him a book and he flipped the pages and one of the plates, the painting was, this is the 10th canto, the painting was Krishna lifting the Govardhan Hill. When he saw that, he thought, oh, look at that. This looks like a UFO, the Govardhan Hill. And it's got all the houses on top and people are living there. I knew it. And look at this blue guy. He certainly is an alien. And he's coming out from the UFO. So in other way, he kind of, and he put the book away. And then something in his heart said, okay, pick up the book and read. You'll learn more about these UFOs. And then somebody gave him another book, Easy Journey to Other Planets. When he went to the temple with that book and said, I want to learn more about this blue man. The first book they gave him was Easy Journey to Other Planets. So, you see, the books have power. Even if you shelf them, Danyam, somebody would make good use of them. Once I was in Bombay trying to do some book distribution many years, many, many moons back. And we were out with the brahmacharis from the Juhu temple. And me and one another boy, we were going to restaurants, different restaurants. And there was this one man who looked quite interesting because he was in the restaurant. Generally in India, in restaurants, there's too many people, crowded, and everyone is talking. But this man was very, very silent, with his head down, almost stooping low. So I thought maybe he's a good candidate because he seems like somebody in need. So I went, I had a small book on the way to Krishna, very small book. And we used to distribute it for 5 rupees. So it was very cheap. So I went and I put the book on the table. He was alone. So he said, why are you here? Get lost. I said, is everything okay? He said, yeah, everything's okay. Go away. And I just felt like I should help. So I sat down and I talked to him. And we had a little bit of a conversation. And he said, also, in my, you know, we used to take a trolley with all the books. So those days in Juhu, they used to sell Bhagavatam randomly, like any, because there were lots of Bhagavatams which were not full sets. So when they were not full sets, they would just give out different volumes. I don't know if we do that. I don't think we do. But in Juhu, they used to do that. So there were some Bhagavatam also. And the Bhagavatam on the top was 7th canto, which showed Hiranyakashipu and Narsingadev. And this guy knew, right? He was his name was Hiran. Hiran. So he knew about Hiranyakashipu and Narsingadev. So I asked his name. He said, go away, I'm a demon like this Hiranyakashipu. He knew who is Hiranyakashipu. And then I asked him, well, what's your name? And then he said, my name is Hiran. I said, that's similar sounding. But he just wouldn't take the book. And I said, at least have a look. What's your problem? So he said, look, I'll be very honest with you. Nothing can help me. I had a girlfriend. And she promised she'd marry me. And I brought her to the restaurant here because she wanted to talk. And she has just stood up, as she had just stood up and left, you came by with all this nonsense. So I said, I'm really sorry for you. He said, the only person I will listen to is this man, Hiranyakashipu. Don't give me all this nonsense. So I said, wow, this is powerful, isn't it? So I prayed to Krishna. I said, well, I mean, somebody wants to listen to Hiranyakashipu. What do we do? Okay, I said, anyway, you try. Open the book. He took the book. He opened the book. 7th canto, chapter 2, verse number 21. 7 to 21. He just opened and it came. And then he read the translation. Yeah. I don't have 7th canto here. Anyone has 7th canto on your phones? Yeah. So the translation, now listen carefully. Yeah, the translation. My dear mother, in a restaurant or a place for drinking cold water, many travelers are brought together, and after drinking water, they continue to their respective destinations. Similarly, living entities join together in a family, and later, As a result of their own actions, they are led apart to their destinations. And he said, Are you a trickster, a magician? I said, no, this is what it says. In a restaurant, yes. Your lady has left. And then he said, no, but I only want to listen to Hiranyakashipu. So I had read seventh canto. So I said, Hiran, you know who spoke these words? Who knows who spoke these words? Hiranyakashipu spoke these words to his mother. When Hiranyaksha was killed by Vishnu, Hiranyakashipu speaks these words. So this man immediately said, I want the book. This is a magical book. I want the book. He took the book. Then he followed us to the temple, took the whole set of Bhagavatam. Then he said, I can't understand this unless I have initial books. So he took Bhagavad Gita and he took the full set of small books except for this Easy Journey to Other Planets wasn't available. He took all the other books. He carried it home and now he's a temple president in one of the temples in India. Yeah. So we see Dhanyam, this is wealth. It may be used at any time. Again, he took the books and he started reading the books after 20 years. Because he was in whatever, depression. Third stage. So this is for people who Dhanyam is wealth. These books like they act like wealth, which are, Srila Prabhupada used to, well, devotees used to call these books time bombs. In the old days. Because somebody gets the book, they will make use of the book at some point. The third stage is swasti ayanam. Swasti ayanam. Who knows what is the meaning of swasti ayanam? Yes.
It's something that makes you go towards
an auspicious destination. Very good. Swasti means auspicious. Ayanam. Ayanam literally means to go towards. Like you have Ramayanam, means journey of Rama. So auspicious swasti ayanam journey. Something that takes you on an auspicious journey. So this is those, if somebody accepts a book and they are interested but only temporarily interested, right? They're not 100% interested. Or they may be interested just for the sake of finding out a little bit more. But it's not a deep interest. Yeah? These people, if they show even a little interest, their journey will begin. Swasti ayanam. So the first category, not interested and not accepting the book, for them it is sukriti. So it is, the first is mahat punyam. Then there might be those who don't accept the book. Sorry, they accept the book, but they may not be interested, like this Hiran guy. Yeah, for them, it acts like Dhanyam. It is a ticking time bomb. There's only a point in time it will act. And third, for those that are interested, but only temporarily, and they accept the book. For them, the book acts like a starter of their auspicious journey. So, again, in India, when we were doing book distribution, no, that's a different story. I'll tell you, in Leicester Square, about 25 years back, 23 years back, I was distributing Bhagavad Gitas. So that time we were distributing Bhagavad Gita for, you can give any donation, but if you give us £3, that'll be good. This is small Bhagavad Gitas, white in color, you know, the small ones. So, I met a lady at Leicester Square. Her name was Janice. And she accepted the book very, very reluctantly. But she said, I'll accept it because I am, you know, spiritual. Or I am, you know, I like to read philosophy. So I said, okay, fine, take it. She took the book. And I was hoping that she was English. So I was hoping she'll read it and come to the temple. So I said, please come to the temple. This is the temple's address. And she looked very different. She was dressed in a very sort of, it was winter marathon, so long coat and very sort of, you know, dull looking. But young person, maybe 25 years old, very sort of, you know, sulking a little bit, sad. She took the book anyway. She said, I'm spiritual, I'll take the book. And that was it. She never came to the temple. Then in 2009, I went to New York Rath Yatra. And there I met this lady again. I recognized her immediately. You see, my short-term memory is very good. So I recognized her straight away. And I said, is that Janice? And she said, yes. Do I know you? I said, yeah, I was the one who gave you the book. And she said, oh, thank you. She said, that evening, I was just about to commit suicide. And I was so depressed. I could see no reason to live. You gave me the book, and I went home, and I was going to take an overdose of drugs, along with alcohol, and just commit suicide. And just at that point, I thought, let me just flip through the pages of this book. And I turned the page. I turned a few pages. And then I said, let me start at some chapter. And the first chapter I looked at was chapter 2 of the Bhagavad Gita. And then I read this funny squiggles, which is the Sanskrit. And then the words below. And then it said translation. And the first translation, chapter 2, verse number 1, translation, Bhagavad Gita. She said, I was so depressed, I wanted to kill myself. Yeah, and she read the translation. Sanjaya said, seeing Arjuna full of compassion. Janice always thought she is very compassionate, spiritual. Sanjaya said, seeing Arjuna full of compassion, his mind depressed, his eyes full of tears, Madhusudana Krishna spoke the following words. And then she read the whole second chapter. She put away her plan of killing herself. Somehow, I don't know how she landed in New York. She got married to a devotee who was a regular, or at least at that time, they were regulars at the New York temple. And so this is the power of the books. If you are open-minded, the third category is those who accept and they are open-minded. They will start their journey. Swasti ayanam. The auspicious journey starts for them or kicks off for them. There was a brahmachari in Boston Temple and he was... I'll tell you that story later. But I want to tell you another story. Many years ago in Soho Temple, I had a very kind-hearted friend. He's passed away now. He told me that, Prabhu, if there's anything I can help you with, please let me know. And I know that you suffer from insomnia. You don't sleep well at night. So I might be able to help you. And he had a friend. So this devotee was elderly, Englishman, not initiated, but very elderly, maybe in his 60s. But he liked to, you know, associate with me. So he said, I have a friend, she is a psychiatrist. She might be able to help you. So he was pushing that I should go and see her. He was so kind, he even paid for my first visit to the psychiatrist. In those days it was £80. Which is quite a lot of money those days. And I couldn't afford it. So he said, you go and visit her. I was resisting. Psychiatrist. I didn't want her to discover more things than insomnia in my head. So I said, I'm not going to the psychiatrist. Somehow I went, and I meet with this lady, elderly. You know, she was her friend. This guy himself was maybe in his 60s or 70s. So she was also quite old. You know, like a tea-sipping relic of the crown, you know. And speaking in such posh English, and she said, I'm a purveyor of your mind. Come, you know. She started asking questions. What do you do? How much alcohol? Do you take drugs? This, that, and the other. I said, no, to everything. And then she said, what's the problem? Why can't you sleep? So I said, well, I don't know. That's why I'm here. So she said, you know what? When my mother would say when somebody had high temperature, they tried all the drugs and it didn't work. Just have some nice warm soup and it works. Similarly, for an insomnia, a person with insomnia, the best advice is just read a good old book and it'll put you to bed. I said, okay. So then she said, do you have a good old book that you like? And I said, good old book. Okay, I love Srimad Bhagavatam. So she said, yeah, just that book, whatever it is called, yeah. Just that book you read at night before you sleep. So I took her advice. And I started reading Srimad Bhagavatam, lying in bed, flipping the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. You see, Srimad Bhagavatam, for me, has the effect of fireworks in my mind. So, it's like, you know, you come to Diwali celebration at the manor, and the fireworks are going off, and somebody says, sleep. You're not going to sleep. So I started reading Bhagavatam, and my insomnia became, well, technically it became worse, because I was sleeping then for 45 minutes during the night, or the early hours of the day. That's all I could sleep. I was just reading. I just couldn't put the Bhagavatam down. So I met her again, because it was a follow-on visit. And she said, her name was Elizabeth, but she liked to be referred to as Lisa. I said, Lisa, I have a problem. I've started reading the book, the good old book, and it doesn't work. In fact, I can hardly sleep at all. She said, this is the first one. Never heard of this before. What is that book? I would like to see that book. So I went and gave her a book. She took Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. And she started reading first canto. And then after a few months, I saw her dancing in the kirtan at Soho Street. And she said, how are you doing? I said, I'm good. And I said, how are you? And she, old lady, right? So she leaned forward in my ears. She said, suffering from insomnia. So Bhagavatam, if you are open, then swasti ayanam, it starts your journey. And for one who is serious about these books, which is what we all should be, it bestows shubham, the fourth. Shubham means what? What is the meaning of shubham? Auspicious. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, you know what's the last verse of Bhagavad Gita? Anyone knows? The last verse that Krishna spoke as an instruction to Arjuna. Last verse. What is 1871? I've written it here. Shraddhavan anasuyascha shrunuyadapiyo naraha. One who hears this narration with faith, sopi muktaha shubhat lokat prapnuyat punya karmanam. One who hears this with faith will attain Shubhaloka. Shubhaloka means Goloka, an auspicious destination. So here Shubham refers to finally one attains the auspicious destination. So if there is someone who accepts the book and is serious about it, then the doors of Goloka are open for that person. So in Boston Temple, there was this brahmachari. And he was, you know how when you live in, I also lived as a brahmachari in Juhu Temple many, many years ago. So I'm also a product of the ashram. Maybe drifted away a little bit, but yeah. So when you're in the brahmachari ashram, you are the mercy of others. Your temple commander, your service authority, temple president, so many people, right? You have friends, but you also have to do things which others tell you to do. Especially if you're a young brahmachari, who doesn't have much authority, who's not well known. So this brahmachari in Boston was like that, newcomer, very serious about Prabhupada's books. And he got pulled up by his temple commander. And one thing that this devotee found difficult was waking up early hours for Mangalarti. So this temple commander was so heavy-handed, he actually would lift the person up from sleep. Can you imagine somebody is lying down sleeping and you actually pull that person up to wake him up? Then this devotee thought, oh, this is too heavy. I can't stay here. It's a crazy place, crazy people. So he left. He left, but he was very, very serious about Prabhupada's books and Prabhupada's classes. This is during Prabhupada's time, yeah. So he was taking a shower and he was listening to the tape, which were lectures on the prayers of Queen Kunti, which became later on the book, Teachings of Queen Kunti, is actually transcribed lectures of Prabhupada, is what the book is. So he was hearing this, Teachings of Queen Kunti. And Prabhupada speaking as he's taking shower. And Prabhupada's, at one point, Prabhupada says, if you are serious about Krishna, then Maya also becomes serious. Because she does not want anyone to just come and disturb Krishna. Unless you are serious. Just that one sentence while he was taking bath, he heard that one sentence and he thought, oh, why am I getting disturbed by this one little act of this temple commander? If I am really serious about Krishna, I should go back to the temple. So he left his home again and he went back to the Boston temple. He joined the temple, did so many wonderful services, ended up in Russia, and he is now His Holiness Niranjan Swami. Yeah. So just one sentence. If you're serious about Krishna, then Maya also becomes serious. So he realized, oh, this is just for such a little thing. I left the temple. I'm serious about Krishna. So he went back. So these books act on all four kinds of people. These are the four kinds of people, and these are also the four stages that one will go through. Ultimately, I mean, we are all products of Srila Prabhupada's mercy. I generally don't like to say this, but should I say how I came to Krishna consciousness? Just for maybe 3-4 minutes. So I was 13 years old, and at school, I used to get I was a reader. When I was very young, about 11 years old, I read a book on speed reading. So I love to speed read, you know. And so I was a reader, I became a very good reader. So in the library, our librarian was Mr. Chaube from Mathura. So he had many, many books. There was about 6,000 books in the library. A lot of philosophical books as well. And I read all the books from Aurobindo to Vivekananda to Chinmaya, everyone, Radha Krishna, Bhagavad Gita by Radha Krishna, Bhagavad Gita by Tilak, Bhagavad Gita by Gandhi, then the Quran, then the Torah, then the Bible, the New Testament, you know, King James Version, just reading, just an avid reader. So I used to get these readership award. There used to be readership awards at school. I was always nominated for those because of my... So it was based on what book you read and how many books you read. So if you just read, those days you had Tintin. Have you heard of Tintin? Yeah. So you used to get those Tintin. So some children would only read Tintin. So they would never get... They may read hundreds of Tintin, but you don't get the award. So it's Chobe. He told me, you seem to be very interested. There is one book that I don't have. That is a book called Bhagavad Gita as it is. I don't have that book. But if you ever find that book, take it. So this is, I'm talking in the, I'm talking in early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, right? So many, many years ago. And just in a month's time after that conversation about, and I remember the name very clearly, Bhagavad Gita as it is. My dad sent me to do some work, and I was passing by a train station. The name of the station is Church Gate. It's in Bombay. And while passing by, there were devotees standing outside the station distributing Bhagavad Gita. And the Bhagavad Gita's were being distributed for 20 rupees. That was the price in those days. I only had 1 rupee in my pocket. So I went to this devotee and I said, what are you distributing? Anything which was spiritual kind of naturally attracted me. So I saw the books and then my eye caught this book, Bhagavad Gita as it is. I said, I need this book. He didn't even have to do any hard selling because, you know, he started talking to me. I said, no, it's okay. I just need this book. He said, you know, that's very extraordinary. Yeah, you can have the book. 20 rupees. I said, I have only 2 rupees, unfortunately. He said, don't worry. Take the book. Then on the book, because these books were printed in Bombay, so there was a Jew temple, the address was there. So he circled the address and he said, come to this address and give me the 18 rupees later. But you take the book. So never, you know, if somebody is interested, just give the book somehow. So I got the book and then I had to go to Ahmedabad with my family. And on the train, maybe this is where my insomnia started because on the train all night, yeah, till I reached Ahmedabad, it was a 17-hour journey that time. The whole 17 hours, I finished reading Bhagavad Gita cover to cover. That was the first reading. So that was Prabhupada's book doing its magic. And then when we were children, every night we used to sing chapter 12 and chapter 15 of Bhagavad Gita. So my family is from a Vaishnava Sampradaya, so we used to chant 15 chapter. So Urdhva Moola Madhashaka Mashvatam Prahoravyam Chandamasi Yashaparanani Yastam Vedasa Vedavedha. The whole chapter we would, you know, just chant like a parrot. I had some understanding of it, but when I read Prabhupada's explanation, chapter 15, chapter 12, blew me away. And that is the day and then I'm here. So it's, you see, it does. These books will do their magic. While we are talking about distributing books, we must also understand that Srila Prabhupada said it very clearly. Don't just take advantage of eating and sleeping. Take advantage of these books. Right? It's very important that we, when we distribute Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, we also reading Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Otherwise, we are not doing full justice. And I want to end by saying one nice pastime that happened here at Bhaktivedanta Manor. Srila Prabhupada, just before leaving us in November of 1977, in September of that year, Prabhupada visited England for about 15 days. Actually, he arrived in London 28th of August 1977. And 14th September 1977, he left back for Bombay, and from Bombay to Vrindavan, and then Vrindavan he left his body. So, Prabhupada was here, and those 15 days that he was here, he spent some time at the manor. And manor had a very dull mood, because everyone knew Prabhupada was going to leave us anytime. He was very, very unwell. He was only skin and bones. He needed to be carried. He was wearing dark sunglasses. So, devotees all were very quiet, very soft. Even when they would climb the steps, they would be very soft and gentle. No talking in the corridors. Prabhupada wouldn't meet anyone. And then the German Yatra Sankirtan devotees came. And they came, and Prithu Prabhu was there with them. And they came, and they were very loud. Loud Germans, huh? They were actually, those days, they were the top book distributors in the world. So they came, and they all wanted to see Prabhupada. And they went to Prabhupada's rooms. And Prabhupada overheard them speaking loudly. And Prabhupada heard the word Sankirtan. And Prabhupada immediately opened the door and said, "Ah, Sankirtan devotees, come in." This is how Prabhupada's heart was, you know, very specific. Sankirtan was at the heart of everything he did. So, Prithu Prabhu and the other devotees, Prabhupada greeted them, asked them how they were, heard about their Sankirtan, you know, adventures or stories. And then, Srila Prabhupada asked them, "So, you're distributing my books, but are you reading them? Are you reading them?" So devotees said, some devotees at least said, "Yes, Prabhupada." So as soon as somebody said, "Yes, Prabhupada," Prabhupada looked at them and looked at the others and said, "Okay, then tell me, what is the most important verse in my book? Amongst my books, what is the most important verse? Anyone knows?" At least, Prabhupada might have given a different answer in a different circumstance, possibly. But on that day, to Prithu Prabhu, he was asking this. And Prithu Prabhu replied, in Madhya Leela, you have, "Jare dekhe tarekaho Krishna upadesh. Amaradna guru hona tare desh. Jare dekhe tarekaho Krishna upadesh. Whoever you see, give them Krishna Upadesh. Give them Krishna." Srila Prabhupada's eyes lit up. And he said, "Yes, this is the most important verse. Whoever you see, wherever you go, give Krishna. This is the spirit of Sankirtan. To give Krishna to others." Now, there is another subtle, very subtle way of understanding this verse. Who spoke this verse? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even in Chaitanya Bhagavat Madhya Khand, we have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu telling Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur. What does he say? "Prati ghore ghore giya koro ei bikha. Bolo Krishna, bhajo Krishna, koro Krishna shikha." Prati ghore, ghore giya. Go to every house, door to door. Door to door. We are doing door to door book distribution. We are doing street Sankirtan parties. Go door to door and do what? Tell them, "Bolo Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, Koro Krishna Shikha, and follow Krishna. Worship Krishna and follow Krishna. So if we really deeply understand this, whose instructions are these? These are instructions to Nityananda and Haridas by Lord Chaitanya himself. Who is Lord Chaitanya? Krishna. What is Krishna's direct instruction and desire? To give himself to others. So all of you on Sankirtan, what you are actually doing is fulfilling Krishna's desire to give him to others. When Mahaprabhu says, Jare dekhe tare koho Krishna upadesh, it is not someone saying this, it is Krishna himself saying this. Krishna himself says, as an instruction, whoever you see, give me, give Krishna to others. And we become the fulfillers of the Lord's own desire. This is the power of Sankirtan devotees. So, I will stop here, take some questions or comments. Yes, Prabhu, start here and then go around, yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you very much. Going way back to the beginning, you mentioned that the Ishanukata begins in the ninth canto.
Yes.
So I just wondered, is there a reason? Because we've heard about Lord Varahadev, Lord Narasimhadev, and so many avatars. So why is the ninth canto specifically singled out for that topic?
Yeah, so a long answer would take much more time. But essentially, Bhagavatam starts with establishing adhikar, then sadhana, then all the way through, up to the sixth canto, it speaks about poshanam. Seventh canto, it talks about uti. This is canto 10, chapter, canto 2, chapter 10, verse number 4, if you see, it talks about what are the different, you know, topics in Bhagavatam, 10 topics. So it goes up to poshanam. Poshanam is anugraha. How does Shukdev Goswami define poshanam? Poshanam tad anugraha, second canto Bhagavatam, chapter 10, right? So this is sixth canto, which talks about the anugraha of the Lord. You have Vritrasur Katha there, right? And then, for one who has received grace of the Lord, their sat and asat vasanas can be cleared. What is sat and asat vasana? Vasanas are what? Desires. Intentions and desires. So again, second canto, chapter 10. How is the seventh canto defined? Uti. Vasana utayaha. So, karma vasana utayaha. So, uti means karma vasana. So, in sat vasana, the description of Prahlad Maharaj is there. In asat vasana, description of Hiranyakashipu is there. In general, Vishwa vasana, ordinary people's vasana, the discussion between Narad Muni and Yudhishthir Maharaj on the Varnashram Dharma is there in the seventh canto towards the end. Then the eighth canto, how do you clear these vasanas? You have to perform purification by always remembering Hari. Purify yourself. Chanting, remembering Hari. So in eighth canto, again the definition is Manvantarani Saddharmaha. Correct? So, 8th canto discusses manvantaras, all 14 manus, what they did, all the 6 personalities that appear during those 14 manus. And then, after you have performed sadharma, you have purified yourself through harismaranam, you become eligible to enter into the katha of the Lord. And you start with Surya Vamsha. Surya Vamsha is Ramachandra. Then you go to Chandra Vamsha, which is Lord Krishna in 10th canto. So this is the sequence. Does that make sense? Does that answer your question?
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can find this information explained clearly. Obviously, we have Second Canto.
Yeah.
The Acharya's
commentaries describe this. Mm-hmm. So, Jiva Goswami describes it in Sandarbhas, Bhagavat Sandarbha also. But main descriptions are found in commentaries of Veer Raghava from Sri Sampraday, Sridhar Swami, and Vallabhacharya. They are outlining these things. Thank you for the question. If you ask me a Bhagavatam question, I have to elaborate a little bit. Sorry for that. Apologies. Okay. One more question. Okay, that's it. So, yeah, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. So, in the beginning of class, you were talking about Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhakti Sansa Sri Thakur's conversation at Radhakund.
Yeah.
So, the exact instruction which was given was, if you ever get money, print books.
Correct.
But it was not mentioned which books to print. So, if we are given this instruction by our spiritual master, what we would generally do, we would print Srila Prabhupada books, right? We will not write our own books. So, just curious and want to know your thoughts on this, that why did Srila Prabhupada choose to write his own books instead of printing Srila Bhaktivedanta Thakur's books?
He also printed Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's English Brahma Samhita, for example. And he was already writing for Gaudiya Prakash and other places. Prabhupada was already writing articles. Abhay Babu was, even before he was initiated, he was writing. Because he had a good command on English language. And in this particular instruction, Srila Prabhupada, my understanding is that Srila Prabhupada combined this instruction with the other instruction that he got during the first visit when Naren Babu took him on the Ultadanga road to see Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in Kolkata first time on the rooftop. What instruction was given by Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur? Yes, you are a educated young man. Please preach this message of Lord Chaitanya in the English language all over the world. Yeah, so many parts to that instruction. Huh? Lord Chaitanya's message in English language all over the world. A lot of books of Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur were in Bengali. So he took his instruction, personal instruction, combined with the instruction to print books. And this is what he did. So even before going to America, when he was in Vrindavan, he wrote Easy Journey to Other Planets was written there. The Light of the Bhagavat, that was much later. But there he got the Nippon Press to print. But Easy Journey to Other Planets. In fact, Prabhupada wanted to go to Japan. And he wanted to teach yoga and Sanskrit in Japan. And that way he thought he will start the movement. But Krishna had a different plan. He went to America. So, okay, does that answer your question? The combination of these two. So Guru's instruction should not be taken in isolation. Guru's instructions should never be taken in isolation. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada once told one devotee, why you in Mayapur? Mayapur is not such a nice place. Leave Mayapur. What Prabhupada wanted to tell him is, go to Calcutta and preach. What are you just doing, eating, sleeping in Mayapur? What do brahmacharis do? When we were in the brahmachari ashram, we said we only do four things. Eating, sleeping, meeting, defending. Not mating, meeting. Meeting after meeting after meeting. Yeah, that's what we do. Eating, sleeping, meeting, defending. So, anyway, Prabhupada said that, go leave Mayapur. But that's not a general instruction. That's a very specific instruction at a specific time for that specific person. The bigger instruction is preach. Right? Prabhupada's single most important instruction is, which is actually also what, it's actually a verbatim quote from Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Preaching is life. I love that quote. Preaching is life. If you don't preach, you're dead. Only a dead Person doesn't preach. Preaching is life. All right. Thank you. With that statement, we will finish for the day. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Sankirtan Yajna ki.
Jai.
And all the wonderful Sankirtan men and women ki.
Jai.